I want to define what we're talking about, first of all, as we define fornication. Now, I recognize we have some very young people here today, and it's a little embarrassing for me with some of the things that will be said, but I've been asked to speak on this topic, and I hope to do the best job that I can. J.H. Thayer says, as far as fornication is concerned, illicit sexual intercourse in general, used metaphorically of the worship of idols, to prostitute one's body to the lust of another, to give oneself to unlawful sexual intercourse. And then Vine says, it's illicit sexual intercourse. It stands for or includes adultery. And in his book, Questions and Answers, Open Forum, Brother Guy and Woods, on page 154 and 155, wrote, fornication is any kind of wrongdoing involving sexual acts. The English dictionary defines fornication this way: voluntary sexual intercourse generally forbidden by law between an unmarried woman and a man, especially an unmarried man. And then they define adultery this way, the English dictionary: voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and a woman not his wife, married man and a woman not his wife, or between a married woman and a man not her husband. So according to the English dictionary, marital status decides whether something is fornication or adultery. But fornication, as it's used in the Bible, is given a much broader term even than that. Fornication means harlotry, adultery, incest, to indulge in unlawful lust of either sex, or figuratively, to practice idolatry. Well, as we've always pointed out, fornication is a broader term than adultery. I've heard people say before that all adultery is fornication, but not all fornication is adultery. And I think that probably helps us to understand it even more. But fornication includes any sexual perversion, including homosexuality, bestiality, aggravated pornography that results in sexual dysfunction may also be fornication. It's interesting when you study the Old Testament that the English word fornication is only used about four times in the Old Testament, and all four of those occasions it's talking about idolatry. God had been married to His people, or His people been married to God, and for them to engage in idolatry of any kind, to put anything or anybody above God, God said it was adultery or fornication, as the word is used. 2 Chronicles 21:11, Isaiah 23:17, Ezekiel 16:26-29. Of course, the same word translated fornication in the Old Testament is also on a number of times translated harlot, or harlots, or harlotry. The word is more frequently used in the New Testament. In fact, about 32 times it's used. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where the incestuous man, the man who had his father's wife, Paul said was guilty of fornication. You'll also recall, as it was already presented in the lectureship here, that Jesus gave the one and only means for the innocent party in divorce and remarriage is that of fornication, Matthew 19:9. Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, or whoso marrieth her, that is put away, doth commit adultery. The Apostle Paul warns in 1 Corinthians 6:18, that miscellaneous sexual activity is deadly. Now let's look and see if we can get all the ramifications of 1 Corinthians 6:18. There we find flee fornication. Paul says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now his own body there has to be the physical body, as that phrase, his own body, proves. But the apostle is not saying here that the only sin that involves the human body is fornication. That's not what he's saying. We know that murder, we know that lying, we know those types of sins all have at least a part of it has to do with the physical body. So Paul is not saying the only sin that involves a human body is fornication. He's saying that fornication is a sin against the mortal body. There is a sense in which fornication is against one's human body like no other sin is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is getting across the point that the body was made for God. Our bodies were made for God's purpose, to follow God's will. And for us to engage in fornication is to use the body made for God, and His purpose is to use that body in a way that's not pleasing to God, against its purpose, against the very will of God. Of course, in our society today, there seems to be a sexual license that sex has its own license that everybody can commit and go along with. But sexual license has some particular dangers about it that are irrevocable. And of course, we immediately think of sexually transmitted diseases. Of course, we know of AIDS, and we're understanding perhaps more about it as we go along. We hear a lot more about it now. But there are a lot of other diseases out there that are just as deadly. There is a disease of herpes simplex 2, of which there is no cure. And over 1 million people have it today, and there's no cure. That simply means that if Johnny is engaged sexually and gets involved sexually in fornication, and he comes up with herpes simplex 2, there's no cure for that. And let's say Johnny falls in love with Mary, and there we find that they get married, and Mary is going to contact herpes simplex 2. And then as they are married and they have a child, their child, just by being born, is going to automatically have herpes simplex 2, and there's no cure for it. Sexual license has dangers that are irrevocable, and there's no cure for it. Also, the evil consequences of unlawful sex is going to torment the offender. It's going to cause his mind to rot. That's what sexually transmitted diseases do, among other things. And so a person so involved that would gain sexually transmitted disease is going to live a lifetime of suffering, a miserable existence on this earth. Well, what about the future? There will then be a purposeless, miserable existence of unrelenting fire where the worm never dies in hell. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The fornicator is excluded from the company of God and the saved, and will have for eternity the company of the ungodly, the wicked, the whoremongers, of who they were a part. You know, the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, that causes the acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, AIDS, is unbearable. Millions are dying because of this disease, and people across our world still do not see the sinister message of AIDS. It's found in 1 Corinthians 6. And verse 18, "He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." You know, if one partner in a marriage is involved in fornication, can you see then how the innocent party is especially vulnerable? I've had people ask me before, why do you think Jesus gave as the one means for the innocent party to divorce and remarriage? Why do you think it is that fornication is that? My answer is this. Look at the vulnerability of that innocent party. And God so gave fornication as the means for the innocent party to divorce. I want to look at, in a little bit of time here, the problem of fornication in the United States today. It is a serious, serious problem. One that we deal with, our children deal with, and your grandchildren deal with every day. Because that's what our world is pushing today. Here are just some of the problems that are very evident. Teenage pregnancy is rising at a yearly rate of over 9%. And that's an old figure. That's several years ago. Teenage pregnancy is rising. Parents Magazine, March 1992. Now that date, I believe, is very important. Remember that, 1992. Parents Magazine said studies show that, and this is even an update of Brother Paul's earlier. His was, I believe, 1990 or 1991. Here's 1992. 50% of all teenage girls, 60% of all teenage boys are sexually active today. The reason I said that date was important was that date corresponds with the major thrust in our country to begin teaching sex education, not to begin, but to continue to push sex education to the extent that condoms were being handed out by sex education teachers to the students, even as far down as elementary school. In some elementary schools, teachers of sex education are teaching elementary children how to have safe sex. But they cannot, at the same time, teach elementary children the importance of abstinence. Why is that? So why can't they teach both? Well, here's their answer. Because we would be making moral judgments against their intended behavior. So immorality can be encouraged, but not morality. The Newsweek article, according to the Newsweek article, says it gives much assurance. See if this gives you a lot of assurance or reassurance. Newsweek article said, 40% of out-of-wedlock fathers are now accepting responsibility for their actions. Does that handle the problem? Does that stop fornication? No. But the world sees that as reassurance because some of those guys are finally taking responsibility for their actions. Incest is a terrible sin. But it gained quite a bit of popularity recently when Woody Allen and his ex-wife's adopted daughter, Sun Yi, as they paraded as lovers for a number of months. And everybody in the newspaper world, in the press world, thought that was just wonderful. And now the newspapers and the radio says they're planning their marriage. Homosexuality, sodomy, is being argued by authorities as genetically determined behavior. That's right. They're trying to say now that homosexuals are born and not bred. Now I know this has already been touched on. But my topic is fornication, and some of that fornication has to do with homosexuality, and we're being lambasted, we're being attacked today with homosexuality in our country. And I believe one lesson's not enough. Let's look at a few other things that have to do with this. Simon LeVay, now some of you will remember this because this was heralded over our press. Simon LeVay, a neuroscientist at the Salk Institute in La Jolla, California, scanned the brains of 41 cadavers, including 19 homosexual males, and determined that, quote, a tiny area believed to control sexual activity appears to be smaller in homosexuals. And he trumpets this as proof that homosexuals are born that way. They can't help it. Now, LeVay admits that he's been homosexual since he was 12 years old. Do you think he had something behind this as he was setting out to prove, at least in his mind, and try to prove to the world that it's not his fault? You think he had something behind that as he tried to set out his proof? Also, his lover of 21 years, Richard Hersey, died of AIDS. Now he admits that upon learning that the male hypothalamus that regulates sex is more than twice as large as women's, in the natural male. He set out then to prove that the normal man's hypothalamus is larger even than the homosexual. Now that's what he set out to prove, and as far as he's concerned, and the press who got a hold of it, that's what he's proved. So therefore, they're born that way. Though this research was heralded in our popular press as corroborating a lot of other, they called, research claiming a physical cause of homosexuality, the press never one time that I'm aware of, and I looked extensively, I never saw one time where those who show that this survey that Simon LeVay did was wrong, proved it to be false. Never one time did you read that in the paper or hear about it on the radio or the news. Grant and Horn comment, and I quote, "To say that this experiment is exceedingly dubious is a gross understatement. LeVay is attempting to tell us that he's found a difference between the brains of homosexuals and heterosexuals, when he actually has no idea if there are really any heterosexuals in his group. 41 cadavers, 19 he knew were homosexuals. The thing he doesn't tell you is he doesn't know if the others were or weren't. He doesn't know. So he doesn't even know those who participated, unknowingly of course, as they were dead." Scientists also criticized his research. Dr. Paul Cameron wrote, and again, you never heard this in the newspapers or on radio or anything else. I quote, "Three out of the 19 homosexuals have a larger hypothalamus than the size for heterosexuals." Well, that goes against his whole theory. But three of them were larger than that. The second largest hypothalamus belonged to a gay, to a homosexual. Three of 16 heterosexuals had a smaller hypothalamus than the size for homosexuals. According to LeVay's theory, three of the heterosexuals should have been homosexuals. Three of the homosexuals should have been heterosexuals. When you completely misclassify, Dr. Cameron said, six of the 35, you don't have much of a theory to go on. But you never heard that, did you? All you heard was, there's proof that gays are born that way. The homosexual community, of course, welcomes the idea that sex perversion begins in the chromosomes. You see, if they can show that it's in the chromosomes, then it's just a natural characteristic. And they can receive civil rights protection just like any other natural minority. And isn't that where all of this is headed? From same-sex marriages to joint parental custody, insurance and health benefits, the ability to file joint tax returns, inheritance of property, alimony, and child support, just to name a few. There is a well-documented book out, The Family Under Siege, by George Grant. He cites a list of gay demands that appeared in The Advocate, a magazine which is the nation's most prestigious homosexual magazine. And here's their list of demands. Endorsement of homosexuality by all religions and the rewriting or expurgation of Scripture. We want Scriptures rewritten and we want some of it deleted, naturally. Gay marriage or the abolition of marriage. We want you to recognize gay marriage, or we want you to not recognize any marriage at all so they can continue to live in the sin that they're in. Indoctrination, here's another one of theirs, indoctrination of the young in homosexual behavior. You may be thinking, well, they'll never do that. Wrong. I'll prove it to you in just a few moments. The end of all discrimination against homosexuals and the expurgation of ugly and ignorant homophobia among the aged and backward who cling to the old ways. These goals are to be enforced through heavy punishments and public humiliation. They're talking about what they want to do to me and you. The Advocate article concludes with this challenge. Here's the homosexual challenge. I quote, "If all these things do not come to pass quickly, we will subject Orthodox Jews and Christians to the most sustained hatred and vilification in recent memory. We have captured the liberal establishment." To which I add, yes, that's right. "We have captured the press." To which I add, yes, you're right. "We have already beaten you on a number of battlefields. Surrender now." To which I say, no, not one inch will we surrender. Some of the companies who have already extended domestic partner benefits to homosexual workers and their lovers. One or two has been mentioned. Let me mention a few others. The American Red Cross. Apple Computer. Capital Cities ABC. Coors Brewing. Duke University, Walt Disney Company, Harvard University, HBO, Hertz, Rent-A-Car, Levi Strauss, MCA Universal, Microsoft, MGM, New York Times, Princeton University, Sony, Time Incorporated, The United Way, Universal Studios, Viacom, the cities of Baltimore, Maryland, Hartford, Connecticut, New Orleans, Louisiana, New York, New York, Oakland, San Diego, and San Francisco, California, and Seattle, Washington, already extended domestic partner benefits to homosexual workers and their lovers. Fornication is having a heyday, and it's being shoved down our throats. We better confront it. There is a determined attempt to get straight people to accept the unnatural sexual orientation of homosexuals. This is an agenda they want desperately, and they're trying to get it done right now. Not in the future. They want it done right now. Two summers ago, I don't remember if Andy's son was involved or sons were involved. Our band won a trip to Disneyland, the Howe High School band. Didn't find out till it was already over and all. They got to be there for Gay Day at Disneyland. They didn't know it. Hardly knew what was going on. But they were all, not all the homosexuals, were decked out in their red shirts. In fact, it is said that over 40% of the employees are homosexuals. And they said, if we leave, this will be the largest self-service amusement park in the world. Even the Disney movies. There's a little thing out in the foyer I hope that you'll get. I've already done my lesson and I'm not going to be using any of those, though there may be something that comes up. Here's something from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Notre Dame, however you want to, the latest one that had come out. Composer Alan Menken is part of the team that scored the movie, and he described one song in the movie. One of the songs was entitled Hellfire. And here's how he described it, and I quote, "With Hellfire, we weren't just expanding the envelope, we were taking it into another room. It really tests the limits of what we can get away with." Now, in one song we have Frollo, and I did not see the movie, but apparently Frollo is the hunchback himself who's in love with the beautiful woman. Frollo is singing the church liturgy, but also singing of twisted sexual fantasies. Here's the song. "Hellfire, hellfire, there's a fire in my skin. This burning desire is turning me to sin." And Chairman Michael Eisner's response was, "Well, we can't keep making Dumbo forever." You remember the Disney movie that was released in 1994 around Christmas time? The Santa Claus had that guy from Home Improvement on there? There was in that movie, as he was giving getting a phone number by which he could reach his kids, and gave the phone number over the movie. It is a phone number for an actual sex line. What do you say about that, Disney? It was a coincidence. With everything that's going on through the Disney company, I cannot force myself to believe it was a coincidence. Even in The Lion King, which is one of the top-selling kids' videos of all time, has a scene where the word sex is spelled out in the dust against the sky. I saw The Lion King at a great big movie theater, and I remember seeing that, and I remember my jaw dropping to the ground wondering, what in the world are they doing? And then I've had other people say, well, you didn't see that because it's not there. Well, get it for yourself. The two actors that supplied the voices for the two main characters, Timon, if I pronounce it right, and Pumbaa, say they played the duo as being homosexual, and say that makes the cartoon animals the first two openly homosexual animated characters. Now, our kids didn't know that when they saw that. When I saw the movie, I did not picture that in any way, shape, or form. But I know it now. That's what they did. And I will certainly not have anything to do with it again. Listen to these books. A Beach Party with Alexis. A girl is giving a party with the help of her lesbian mothers. The Daddy Machine. Two kids with lesbian moms. Imagine what having a dad would be like. Daddy's Roommate. Very infamous book for children of gay men. Heather Has Two Mommies. Same kind of book on lesbian parenting. How would you feel? This is a book. How would you feel if your dad was gay? Boys who have gay and lesbian parents talk about their concerns. I'll never see books like that. Why don't you go check your public library? That's where they're at. And they're designed, they're written for our children. That's who the target is, our children. All of this is from, or most of it anyway, is from the American Family Association Journal. Fornication is a major problem in our country, in our communities today, and it's considered glorified behavior today. You think about all of those who are held up as role models for our kids today. They're not role models for my kids, but they're held up in a world as role models for kids, and all they can talk about are their live-in lovers without any shame or remorse at all. What does that teach our youth? What does that say to the young people of America today? Role models and live-in lovers. And all of these movie and entertainer and sports figures that are held up as role models for kids today, and all they can come out with is talking about the birth of their children that are born out of wedlock. What's that teaching our children today? You remember when country music singer Winona Judd, when she announced her pregnancy, she was then asked if she was going to marry now. And her response was, first things first. That amazes me. You and I understand what first things first. And generally speaking, I would think the world would know that. But not any longer. She has a child and she may get married later, but first things first. It's ridiculous. We've just named a few of the problems confronting our nation today as regards to fornication. And of course, our interest is in what the Bible says. How do we confront this? How do we confront? We're going to put up with it every day. Driving to work on a school bus. We're going to pass billboards. We're going to see things every day where fornication is being pushed down our throats. What can we do? How can we confront this? Of course, the Bible confronts it. And the Bible is our source. It's what we need. The Bible lets us know quickly that it condemns every kind of fornication. Let's turn for just a moment to the Old Testament, look at some things there. You recall when the Israelites were going into the Promised Land, they were to destroy those heathen nations. And oftentimes people leave the idea, well, it was mainly because they were idolaters and God didn't want them to have anything to do with that. If you keep reading, though, you find out that's not it. That's it, but that's not all of it. You look at their practices that included some of their idolatry, but also their fornication and their ungodliness in this regard caused God to say, I'm fed up, destroy them all. Take them all off the face of the earth. Most of it had to do with fornication. The Israelites were warned about that. They were warned against in Leviticus 18, incest with a mother, stepmother, stepsister, granddaughter, half-sister, aunt, daughter-in-law, sister-in-law, stepdaughter, stepgranddaughter, mother-in-law, etc. It was incest. It was sinful. It was wrong. They were to stay away from it. Again, Leviticus 18, 23, bestiality is also condemned. Leviticus 18, 22, homosexuality. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And I'm amazed when people tell me to my face, the Bible does not condemn homosexuality. I know one thing immediately, they don't even know what the Bible is. Because it is condemned. Leviticus 20:13, if a man lie with a mankind as with womankind, both of them have committed abomination, they shall both surely be put to death. You can't tell me God does not hate homosexuality. He loves the homosexual. And He longs for their repentance. But if they continued in such under Old Testament times, they were to be put to death. The men of Sodom insisted on having sex with other men. Genesis 9, 1 through 13. And God said it was iniquity. Genesis 19 and verse 15. The common practices of this heathen nations, not just idolatry, but the fornication, caused God to say, destroy them all. Take them off the face of the earth. And New Testament abounds also with many passages condemning fornication. 1 Corinthians 5, we mentioned the incestuous man earlier. Incest was condemned. Paul called it fornication. Romans 13 and verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery. And again, homosexuality in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and following. It's specifically condemned, verse 26 and 27. It's self-abusive, verse 24. Disgraceful, verse 26. Unnatural, verses 26 and 27. Vulgar, verse 27. It's error, verse 27. It's forbidden, verse 24. And it is condemned, verse 18 and 29. Someone says, well, God hasn't always felt that way. In patriarchy, Genesis 19, He destroyed two cities. And their major sin was homosexuality. God hates it. It's an abomination. In Judges chapter 19, almost the identical thing happens. And God's reaction is the same. And then in Romans chapter 1 under Christianity, God's reaction is the same as far as His hatred towards that sin. Here's how we confront it. Here's how the Bible does. The Bible teaches that fornication cannot enter the kingdom. Genesis 5, 19 and following, it's among all other things that are listed, is listed fornication. And it says there, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In Colossians 3, verses 5 through 7, among a list of other sins, fornication is mentioned, and it says it is to be mortified. That is destroyed. That is subdued. We are to have nothing to do with it. The incestuous man in Corinth, we mentioned that just a moment ago, Paul said was fornication. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, in mentioning other things along with fornication, these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible confronts it. God's people will confront it, and there can be no mistake about it. But let me also point out as I close, the Bible also teaches that those who will forsake and repent of their fornication can be forgiven. The incestuous man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul told them to withdraw fellowship from him, to turn him over to Satan, whose he is and whom he serves. And they did that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the man repented. And then Paul says, restore your love, confirm your love to him, lest he be overcome with sorrow. If repentance is there, the fornicator can be forgiven. The Corinthians, though through their obedience to the gospel, they were also listed as fornicators. But notice then it says, because of their repentance and their obedience to the gospel, it's in the past tense. Such were some of you. But you've been washed, sanctified, you've been justified. They were that. Now they didn't just say, I'm sorry, and continue along in that. They weren't that anymore. They were that at one time. They repented. They're not that anymore. They're not that anymore. And Paul calls for all to flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. The only authorized means God has given to fulfill the fleshly desires that human beings have is marriage. It's only in marriage that the bed is undefiled. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Every bed cohabitated in outside of marriage is condemned. And those who engage are lost. Galatians 5, 19 and following. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and following. And of course, we always want to encourage and remind our young people. If there is one who seeks to compromise your purity through fornication, be it boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancé, mark this down. They do not love you. They do not respect you. And they'll not love you and respect you if you marry them. I want to close with Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth unto the flesh, then of the flesh he shall reap corruption. If he soweth unto the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life.